in this very specific story that probably, how many times in the Gospels, if you actually read all four Gospels, you hear that Jesus actually cursing something? This is probably almost the first time. So people wonder about it and they ask questions. Why? What did the fig tree do? It was not in the season. It was just time to give the leaves. Then the flower, then the fruit. So it's not the time the fig tree can actually yield fruit. Yet, I don't really meet people who actually ask a question about the beginning of the sentence, where it says, he was hungry. How many times in the whole Gospels you read that Jesus was hungry and there was no food? None. This is first time. That's how the leading story goes. You know, the day before was the triumphant entry into the Jerusalem. People waving at him, he's riding on a donkey, and you know, all kind of things. Even they were saying that the whole city shook because of the shout of the people. And he cleansed the temple. And he went to stay with one of the followers' house, probably. And they didn't feed him. I mean, can you imagine that they would not feed Jesus, so that he would walk back to the city empty stomach and hungry? Or this person who could feed 5,000, 7,000, 4,000 with just a little bit of food actually needs a fig tree fruit to feed and fill his stomach. If you're thinking like that, that's really not really thinking who Jesus really was and is. So, the question actually should be, what does it mean that he was hungry? As entering back to the city, he felt hunger. That's a question to you. So, I'll give you a moment to think about that. In a way, we could say that the Bible story begins with trees and end with talking about trees. Bible as one book, if you really open the last chapter of the book, or last book of the Bible, it's called the Revelation. And the Revelation, at the end, it talks about this big New Jerusalem coming down. And inside the Jerusalem, there is one thing that doesn't exist. You know what that is? Sun or moon. The glory of God is the light. What does exist inside is trees of life. And in what other place do you read about this tree? In Genesis. You just read the story about it. Well, there were two trees planted by God, or two trees that was named by God as special trees. One was tree of life. The other was tree of knowledge of good and evil. And I have done my master's thesis about a search for origin of evil on comparative study between Jungian and Swedenborgian understanding of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So I can talk a lot about it. Only one thing I can share with you is that this tree inspired so many people for the past two millennia to write many, many different writings about it. And yet, in today's scripture reading, it appears a fig tree, which happens to stand on the way that Jesus was walking into or toward Jerusalem in the morning. So if you have ever studied a little bit of what Swedenborg, how Swedenborg wants to explain things in the Bible, he kind of calls it, in a way, correspondences. And if you know a little bit about it, and then this building, this sanctuary, is, in my eyes, full of something called correspondences. In a very simple way, correspondence is how our physical realm is related with the spiritual realm, or how our natural world is the manifestation of God's divine design. And a Bible story captures with this very specific, in modern world, maybe symbolic understanding, meaning of it. So, in this chapter, it begins with, in the morning. In the morning, the sun rises, shines with new light. It's a morning. It's a good thing. If you go to Genesis, after each day of creation, there was evening and the morning. Morning is the new beginning. Right after this great entry into the Jerusalem and very big act, now he's coming back next day. It's in the morning. But then he was hungry. If you believe Jesus as God incarnated, and if you read all other stories that happened before this one, you'd know very clearly that he could feed himself very well. And he doesn't need a fig or two figs from a fig tree to fill his stomach. So we can pretty much assume easily this hunger is not hunger of his physical body. And also, we can easily assume that when Jesus is looking into this fig tree and felt hungry, it's not about just the tree and his stomach. If you would believe Jesus as God incarnate, the way he's looking at is not just one tree or one human. It's the humanity as a whole. And in the very morning, this is the last week of his days on earth. Right after the great entry, claiming that I'm the king for these people, he felt hungry. So, if you were to guess, what would be the food for God? That was the theme of quite many religions in the past many thousands of years. And some people believe that God would feed on humans. Some people believe God would feed on animal sacrifices. Some people believe God would feed on our good acts. What do you think is God's food? If God has food to eat. He was hungry. In the Bible, there are three trees that are mentioned kind of over and over again. And there is olive tree. There is vine. And there is fig tree. And somehow, olive tree gets the highest attention. And the vine goes the second. And the fig tree goes the third. And in Swedenborg's symbolic understanding, olive may represent the highest good that human beings can ever cultivate and bring to God. That's the highest. The vine, of which we make wine, represents the next good that human beings can cultivate and bring and offer to God. Fig actually is the lowest. That is with the least acceptable qualification. And yet, what this story is saying is that Jesus was not felt. There's its very lack of even this kind of good in humanity. That God felt hungry. The human beings are not even doing taking care of each other in the minimum way God would hope and expected and planned. And that he felt hungry. And yet, there's a lot of leap. Meaning, they talk a lot about it. As Porter, this little gentleman here, is saying, whatever you think about in your brain, unless you do it, it's not real. It hasn't happened yet. There are many, many books about how to be kind. Which one's better? To read 10 books about how to be kind or doing one act of kindness to actual human being? You know answer. We all know answers. But which is easier? Yes, reading books are much easier. Even if that costs more money, more time, more energy, but still we feel that's easier. Why? The answer is actually in this first story about Eve and the serpent. There's always this whisper in our heart and mind whenever we know there's something that we should do. I do know it because it's a good thing. I actually want to do it. But then there's almost immediate response coming right back to you saying, no, you don't want to do it. And these are the reasons. And there is now battle. Sometimes the good side wins in your heart. Sometimes the other side wins the battle. And the voice of this, the other side, is very sneaky, like the snake. And I can also talk about that conversation for a long time, because that was one of my major focus in my thesis. And yet, actually, everything's happening in your mind. So, Jesus comes to you and visit, right? And wants to dine with you. What food do you have? Do you have figs? Do you have vines? Grapes? Do you have olives? Or you just have leaves? However, the ending of this story is even more tricky and amazing. When disciples are so amazed about this fig tree, what did Jesus say? Lack of faithfulness. Somehow that's where it goes. If you feel challenged, if you feel that you want to do acts of kindness, but you feel that somehow you're not capable of doing something that you know to be good, why don't you pray for that? This is my 14th year in parish. I have heard many times people want to pray for, I don't know, better job, better house, better life, health. But it's very rare people actually come and asking, can you pray with me so that I can be kind? I can be more loving. That's the teaching, right? Jesus is saying, you should be more loving. You should be kind to each other. So that should be our top priority prayer. That, Lord, make my heart to be gentle. And if it's not gentle, help me to be gentle. And if you pray for that, answer's right here. Whatever you ask for in prayer with faith, you will receive it. You will receive it. I don't want to talk a lot about this, but that's the reason I'm standing here and talking to you and sharing about it. And it's been confirmed in my life I believe that should be confirmed in your life too. So, again, what should you pray? And yet, when that miracle moment happens, that you actually bring the food, you actually have the food for God, what happens then? Amazing things happen. These are things that cannot be described in human language. Totally, a sinner received salvation, had a feast in the whole village. Whole villagers felt they are all saved in that moment. That's the biblical stories. But as you really have this connection, I believe you also have great stories to tell. Share them, but also have faith. It's not just thinking, it's just not talking. Faith in action. That's real. May God bless you all in this journey and search, and most importantly, asking God for this one. Amen.